Hey friends, welcome to the Fielder Worship Team Devotional Podcast. This is our space to refocus, recharge, and realign our hearts, minds, and bodies as we learn to follow God together. Our mission is to point people to Jesus, and these devotionals are here to help us grow closer to Him as we prepare to lead out in worship. No matter where you serve on this team, this podcast is for you. My prayer is that each episode is an opportunity to inhale the gospel so that we can exhale together as we serve the church. Let's jump into today's devotional together. Worship is a complex thing. I wanted to start this devotional series with something quick, witty, and memorable about worship, but I couldn't. Not because I can't boil down worship into a simple truth, but because the first time the word worship is mentioned in the scriptures, it's in the middle of a story, a difficult, radical, but hopeful story. What I love about stories is that they can teach us truth in ways that we're more likely to remember, ways that dig down deep into our souls and confront us with more than simple statements or even compact truths. What we find is something complex but not complicated, a lot of interconnected parts that in the end point to something central, something we can walk away with. In the stories of the Bible, we come face to face with God Himself, and the only choice that we have to make is how to respond to that, to Him. We'll start by reading Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14, and they say this. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose, and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now, our friend Abraham is being put into an impossible situation. As readers, we can see immediately that God is testing him. But let's put ourselves in Abraham's shoes for just a moment. Imagine what he must have been feeling. The gut-wrenching fear and anxiety. The stomach-dropping, heart-shattering wave of emotions accompanied by his task. The silent debates he must have been having within himself. This test was truly make or break for him in more ways than one. I want to rewind and set the stage briefly. Abraham's son Isaac is the son that God had promised him, the son that he waited 25 years for, the son whom he had at the ripe old age of 100. Every promise that God gave to Abraham would be passed down to Isaac. That's how important he is. But now, it looks like all of this is in jeopardy. Everything that Abraham had been promised, everything that he had waited for, was now on the line. And he would have to be the one to make the sacrifice, to take the knife and kill his own son. In the midst of what we can only imagine is the most harrowing, difficult moment of his life, Abraham recognizes this act of obedience as a worship to God. He takes his servants, takes his son, and sets out where God had asked him to go, all without hesitation, all without a plan B. From this, we can build out a sense of how Abraham understood worship. We see three things. One, Abraham worshiped God through immediate obedience. Two, Abraham worshiped God by not withholding what was most precious to him. And three, Abraham worshiped God by completely relying on him for the outcome. All of Abraham's hopes, all the promises God had made him were wrapped up in the life of this young boy, this son of promise. But he had a history with God. Time and time again, God had come through, even when Abraham would go out on his own and make a mess of things. Now at this critical moment, Abraham finally got it. As it says in Romans 4:21, Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised, even if it meant he had to take the knife to his son. He wouldn't waver. He couldn't. Everything that he had came from God, and he knew God would provide, even if he didn't know exactly how. Now, we know how this story ends. God ultimately provides a substitute, a ram for sacrifice in place of Isaac. But what was God testing in Abraham? It's revealed in the angel's instructions in Genesis 22, verse 12. Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham worshiped God in this way because he feared him. He wasn't afraid of him, per se, but he recognized God's rightful authority over his life. This is why we worship God too. We worship him when we acknowledge he is the rightful king over our lives. There is nothing too great for him to ask of us. Nothing that we should not be willing to lay down at his word. This fear, or ultimate reverence for the king of the universe, is most rightly expressed in obedience, immediate, unhesitating, faith-filled obedience. Today, God isn't going around asking his followers to put their children on actual altars, but he does ask everything of us. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Living sacrifices. This is God's rightful worship from us. Why? Because of the mercies of God. God, in his mercy, sent down his only son as our substitute, the sacrificial lamb who took our place. In complete obedience to his Father, Jesus laid down what was most precious to him, his own life, and trusted that the Father would use that for the salvation of the world. This is the God we put our hope in. And this is why we must give ourselves as living sacrifices to him. Now, the problem with living sacrifices is that we all have a tendency to crawl off the altar. We forget God's faithfulness, or we feel like we need to take matters into our own hands. But Abraham's posture serves as an example for us today. Our worship should look like his. One, we worship through immediate obedience. Two, we worship by not withholding what is most precious to us. And three, we worship by relying completely on God for the outcomes. Worship is more than singing a song. It's more than planning powerful set lists or crafting beautiful transitions or even making sure that things go off without a hitch on a Sunday. Worship is a life submitted to King Jesus, trusting him with all things, even when he asks everything of us. If you've listened up to this point, you've reached the end of the devotional, but I've also recorded some reflection questions and a brief prayer if you'd like to stick around. I've built some time in between these questions to give you space to think, to respond, and even to wrestle with the Lord. I'll wrap it up with a short prayer based on the devotional content. All of this is also available in the show notes if you'd prefer to read through it. So let's take some time to reflect on these questions. If God were to test you today to see if you feared him, what would he ask of you? And what would your response be? Is there an area of your life that you haven't been willing to let go of, even when God has asked you to? What would it take for you to surrender that to the Lord? Do you trust in God's track record in your life? In the lives of others? Why or why not? Let's pray together now. God of Abraham, you're a God who keeps promises. I see Abraham's response to you, how he feared your name and walked in complete obedience before you. I confess that I don't always do this. I recognize the weakness in my heart. I forget your goodness and your faithfulness. I want control over the outcomes of my life. But you're calling me deeper into surrender, to lay down my life as Jesus laid down his. Give me the strength to do this by your Spirit. I trust you, and I ask for help to trust you more. O King of the universe, King of my life, you deserve all the worship I have to give you. Have your way in my life. I give myself to you as a living sacrifice today. In Jesus' name, amen.